And, of course, you're tuned into Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm joined on the line by Medea Benjamin. She is the founding director of Global Exchange. For over 20 years, Medea Benjamin has supported human rights and social justice struggles around the world. She was the Green Party candidate for U.S. Senate from California in the year 2000. In November of 2001, she led a women's delegation to Afghanistan and Pakistan in order to investigate the humanitarian situation there among the refugee population and to assess the consequences of U.S. bombing and to talk to women's groups about what role they would like to play in a transition government. She made national news for interrupting Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld as he pitched his war plan for the invasion of Iraq to the U.S. Congress in October 2002. Medea Benjamin is currently in Baghdad, Iraq, where she has been since last month in June, where she is organizing the launch of the International Occupation Watch Center. The Occupation Watch Center will monitor the military occupation forces and foreign corporations, host international delegations to Iraq, and keep the international community updated about the occupation forces' activities through their website, www.occupationwatch.org. And we're really lucky to have her on the line with us right now. Medea Benjamin, thanks for joining me today.
Hey, nice to be in Santa Cruz in one form.
Tell us about your journey to Baghdad and the International Occupation Watch Center. How did this get started, and what are its goals?
Well, we sent a team, there are seven of us here in Baghdad, to do the research for setting up the center. We've been meeting all week long with all different kinds of Iraqis, as well as people from the United Nations and other international organizations. We've heard horror stories about how the occupation forces have not been able to supply the basic necessities of the people. It's 120 degrees here, and people don't have electricity. They can't put on their fans. They can't have their refrigerators running, so the food goes bad. There's long lines for gasoline in a country that has the second largest oil reserves in the world. And there's a tremendous insecurity with thieves and looters running around heavily armed while police don't have weapons. So things here are pretty chaotic. People are pretty angry with the U.S. military, and we feel it's important to set up a center that would get this information out to the international community and put pressure on the occupying forces to change their policies.
It seems that the world is pretty much in unison and in agreement that this should not continue. The U.S. should pull out immediately and get international peacekeepers in there. It just seems that the power rests in the people of this country, but we keep hearing reports, at least in the U.S. media, that the United States population supports our military action in Iraq. What do you think we can do here to encourage, this administration to do the right thing and allow for international peacekeepers to go in?
Well, to be honest, one gets a sense from here that the U.S. is so entrenched that it's not going to allow that to happen. So what we're feeling is that the best thing is to push for a quick transition to Iraqi self-rule. The U.S. is appointing an interim governing body that's going to be in place in mid-July, just really less than 2 weeks from now. I think it's important to be looking at the composition of that, who is being represented, who is not being represented, be supportive of those groups who are not sitting at the table and should be there. We've been advocating now to see what kind of women's representation there will be. And then what's most important when you're here on the ground is that people don't have the basics of electricity and water and decent sense of security, so they can go out of their homes and not be afraid. So I think advocating on behalf of the Iraqi voices that are calling on the U.S. to take responsibility to restore those basic services that existed before the invasion.
To what extent is Operation, what is it again, Occupation Watch, to what extent will Operation Occupation Watch be working with Iraqi civilians on the ground there? And when you leave in a few days, what's going to happen to the center?
good questions. The center will really be a joint center between Iraqis and the global community, and we're in the process now of hiring staff that would reflect both the local and international character of the center. So there will be people on the ground after we leave who will continue to carry on the work. And the Iraqis that we have met with have been very enthusiastic about such a joint effort. While they feel pretty free right now to criticize the U.S. occupying forces, they don't know how long that will go on for, and really feel that the international community has a privileged position in the sense that they are freer to make these kind of criticisms, and in some cases have more clout in terms of pressuring the U.S. government for change.
As an American, can you give us a sense of, I know you've only been there for a few days and you can't really give us a comprehensive picture of the mood there, but from your experiences, have you, with civilians on the ground in Iraq, have they treated you as an American with disdain, or have they kind of welcomed you as somebody that they view as an ally?
It's very mixed. There are certainly people who are happy that the United States came in and got rid of a brutal dictator. And there are many people who are now, for the first time in 30 years, able to talk openly about tortures that they have undergone, about loved ones that disappeared under the time of Saddam Hussein. The Communist Party just opened its doors, and they were decimated under Saddam Hussein. Independent labor unions are now starting to form that couldn't exist before. So there are some positive things in terms of people exercising freedoms that they didn't have previously. On the other hand, for the majority of people, their daily lives are much more difficult now than they were before. They're demanding jobs, they're demanding better pay, they're demanding basics, as I said, like electricity and water, health care. So there's a lot of different feelings that the Iraqi people have towards us. Those that feel liberated greet us as Americans in a positive way. Those who feel that their lives are more difficult now question whether we are part of the occupying forces or whether we are independent organizations. And when we tell them what we're here for, what we're trying to do, even those who are happy to have the U.S. military here feel very sympathetic because they know that there have been abuses by the military. For example, when the military is being shot at, they often indiscriminately shoot out into the crowds. Nobody wants to see those kind of abuses happening. So I think there's been quite a lot of support for the idea of this Occupation Watch Center and a lot of sympathy and appreciation of us as individuals for coming here to try to set that up.
Have you yourself had any interactions with U.S. military?
We talk to the military every day because you can't go to some areas of the city without going through military checkpoints. And we do go on a regular basis to visit with the what's called the Coalition Provisional Authority, the guys who are calling the shots here in Baghdad. And to get there, you have to go through the military.
These are the same people who are now residing in former palaces that Saddam Hussein used to live in?
Yes, and I would say that there is a huge difference between the higher-ups in the military who are living here quite well in Saddam's palace and the majority of the troops here who are really suffering. A lot of them are out in the broiling sun, 120-degree weather, 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, with their flak jackets on and their heavy helmets and their guns readied. They never thought when they signed up for the reserves that they would end up in Baghdad. They never thought that they would be stationed under such difficult conditions. And they're just mostly young kids, 18, 19, 20-year-olds, who are dreaming of going back home and are actually quite positive when we tell them what we're doing here and how we feel we're supporting them by saying that the U.S. troops should go home.
You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. My name's the V-Man, and I'm joined by Medea Benjamin, founding director of Global Exchange. And she is joining us from Baghdad, Iraq, where she is helping to start the International Occupation Watch Center. You can check out their activities at www.occupationwatch.org. I know it's late there for you, Medea. I just have a few more questions. We just had a tape released to the U.S. media alleged to be the voice of Saddam Hussein. Where do you think he is? Do you think he's alive or dead? And do you think he is still kind of, as we're hearing, controlling some of these so-called guerrilla forces that are attacking U.S. military?
Well, people here have all kinds of theories about Saddam Hussein, including that he's a CIA agent and is happily ensconced in either Bermuda or somewhere in the United States, having made a deal with the Bush administration. But most people think he's somewhere in Iraq, especially since this tape has been released. But interesting enough, and yes, that he is connected to some of the guerrilla-type activities that have been targeting the U.S. military. But the majority of people we talk to say that Saddam is finished, that he cannot come back and expect to be in a position of power, that the population here really does hate him, especially since his departure. More and more stories have come out about his brutality against the Iraqi people. So I don't think people see him as a as somebody who could return to take the reins of power, but they do feel that Iraqis should be in control, and that there are many people who are associated with Saddam Hussein's regime who've been unfairly taken out of their positions, and that's part of the reason why things aren't functioning here, is that the professional class, who oftentimes had to be a member of the Ba'ath Party to get their jobs, were at first fired and are now being rehired. But in this chaos, it's the Iraqi people who suffer from the lack of services.
And I guess maybe two more questions. First, to what extent is Occupation Watch able to monitor the activities of these corporations like Bechtel and Halliburton, who have received these huge multi-million dollar contracts for rebuilding?
Well, it's interesting that people here really don't know even the names of Bechtel or Halliburton or any of the other companies. They're pretty much in the dark about who these companies are, how they get their contracts. On the other hand, there is the business community here that does feel that they should be involved in the rebuilding of their country. And Bechtel opened up an office, and there are businesses that are trying to get subcontracts from Bechtel, and they are Iraqi businesses and finding it very difficult to comply with the requirements that Bechtel has put in place to be a subcontractor. So we are here as Occupation Watch to be advocating on behalf of Iraqi businesses, but also on behalf of Iraqi workers, because there are many rumors floating around about how subcontractors to Bechtel have been bringing in workers from Pakistan and India and other countries, paying them extremely miserable wages instead of hiring Iraqis. So one of the things we will be advocating for is that the companies like Bechtel put down in writing that they will assure that the jobs will be given to the local Iraqi people.
And then maybe finally, Medea Benjamin, if you could give us your thoughts on where this is going. Do you think the U.S. Occupation and the foothold that they've gained in Iraq will lead to further violence and occupations of other countries in the region?
I think the U.S. Military and the administration, while they put a happy face on what's happening here and pretend that things are getting better, have really gotten themselves into a quagmire without an exit strategy. I think the majority of people that we've talked to here think things are going to get tougher for the U.S. military in terms of attacks in the coming weeks and months, unless the U.S. does something dramatic to change to start providing basic services for people. People are less concerned about the U.S. military being here than they are about the difficulties of daily life. They said if the U.S. can give us the food, the health care, the electricity, the security that we need, we don't care who's here. People are concerned about their day-to-day living and the struggle to just survive. So I would say that many people are giving the U.S. perhaps 6 more months, at the most a year, to turn things around. But in the meantime, their patience is wearing thin, and many more of them are starting to support a position that says the U.S. out now.
I really thank you for your time, Medea Benjamin. You're the founding director of Global Exchange, and you're in Baghdad, Iraq right now with Occupation Watch, www.occupationwatch.org. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me on, and if people want to get involved in helping to set up the center, please contact us through the website. We need everything from financial support, people who want to do some research, people who want to update the website, and people who might want to come to Iraq to be supportive of Iraqi organizations here on the ground. So please look us up and join our efforts.